Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of On a Heater Podcast featuring myself, former professional hockey and basketball game photographer Dashing, and my good friend Kiwi. We are two idiots blundering on about sports. Hello, Kiwi. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Hope everyone's ready for their weekly sports update. And along with that, just a quick reminder that if you're a new listener, make sure you go back and listen to some previous episodes. Catch up on the stuff we've been talking about recently. But enough nonsense. Let's get into it.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard me stumble up there. I was going to say, how's it going? And then I switched it to how are you? Like, right at the top. You know, that's the...
How's it gar you?
How's it gar you? You know, that's the just the type of low idiot brain cell count you can expect from this podcast. Speaking of idiots, though, Edwin Uceda, the Rays... What a blunder. 3-game suspension for hitting Nick Castellanos with a pitch. Man.
Yeah.
I just can't wrap my head around that one. He gave up a 2-run double, an RBI single, and a 2-run homer before he just decided, you know what? I'm just going to hit this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what the Rays need, right? Right now, too, because, you know, they're not doing bad enough as is, so.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Well,
you're not, obviously.
No, because if you're throwing a 96 mile an hour pitch just to hit somebody, it's like, come on. Like, I get it. You know, he gave up a 2-run double, RBI single, 2-run homer to some top guys, you know, on that team. And it's just like, you know, the Phillies are a good team.
Yeah.
They're going to be hitting. I know he had a good ERA. I believe he was sitting at a 0.79 before that, you know, took a tumble, obviously. But right. Is it really worth a 3-game suspension?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he just got a little frustrated because he didn't play as well as he has been. And, I mean, yeah, you're right. The Phillies are a very strong team right now. Actually, I think they're sitting in first place for the league.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, why? Don't let your temper get the best of you. Come on, you're a professional player. Like,
yeah,
I know it happens from time to time, but like, take it out somewhere else. Like, go throw the water cooler in the dugout or something,
right?
You know,
get out of the inning and then, you know, go punch a wall.
Exactly. Exactly. Break your hand.
Yeah, but, or you know, well,
throw, take the bat off the, take the phone off the wall with the bat, like mm-hmm. Big Poppy.
Yeah. Or you know, throw your glove against the wall and just go said, hey, go sit down, kid. You're done for right. You know,
swear around for a little bit and then get back out there. You know, like it's you got to shake it off. It's you got to find a different way. You can't just start hitting people. There, you're gonna cause injuries and
that
could ruin someone's season.
That's exactly why I think Major League Baseball handed out this suspension, you know, to kind of drill home, no pun intended, to just, hey, don't do that. You know, we understand, like, you're upset, but don't do that. There's no place in it for baseball, honestly.
Right. That's the last thing we would need is like a star like Nick Castellanos to get hurt. Too,
No kidding. How are we supposed to know if something bad's going to happen if he's not hitting home runs?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway. But yeah. No. Instead of man, I just can't wrap my head around that one. Another thing I can't really wrap my head around. Flight baseball week, but Shohei Ohtani again in the headlines for us. 46 home runs, 47 stolen bases, actually 47 home runs and 48 stolen bases as of September 12th. As of September 11th, when I wrote this note, it was 46 and 47. As of this recording, it is 47 and 48. 50-50.
So he's added one since you wrote the note less than 24
both.
Hours ago.
Yeah. Added one to both. It's right around the corner. 50-50 club. Come on.
It's just at this point, it's
matter
like,
of time.
There's what we said. There's like 16 days worth of games left, roughly. So it's got to be. I don't know who they're playing right now. Do you know off the top of your head? I just had it.
I don't know off the top of my head who they're playing.
They were playing the Cubs. I don't know if they still are.
I think that they were in a series with the Cubs.
Thursday might be the last game against the Cubs, and then I'm not sure who they move on to.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they're playing tonight. I'm looking at the schedule right now.
Oh, maybe they just wrapped up yesterday.
They may have just wrapped up yesterday. They're playing the Braves on the 13th. Yeah, they just finished up yesterday with the Cubs.
Big series coming up here with the Braves, you know, fighting for seeding for the playoffs. So
honestly, yeah.
Expect Otani to definitely be on top of it.
Yeah, I think honestly, you know, little spoiler for coming up ahead. We recently Kiwi and I have gotten into a bit of sports betting, which we will be introducing into our shows going forward. And if you're a betting man, I might start taking Otani to get, you know, homers and stolen bases.
Yeah, pick him to get a home run or a stolen base, you know, once every other night or alternate nights, you know. Mm-hmm.
Make sure you check out
that you alternate correctly.
Yeah, make sure you check out like who he's batting against, you know, pitching wise. Like obviously if he's facing their ace, you know, don't right. do it. Maybe don't
You'd
do
be
it.
More like maybe take the stolen base that night.
Right, as opposed to the home run, but you know, a little disclaimer, we're not betting advisors by any means or any stretch of the imagination. So bet responsibly, as you would normally. But if I was a betting man, which I am now, Shohei Ohtani, I'm taking that 50-50 bet. I'm probably like every single game from now on, like Shohei Ohtani, betting to get a hit, betting to get a home run, betting to get a stolen base. I feel like that's, you know,
yeah, definitely, man. Like a custom parlay, it would be. Honestly, I mean, you're not going to hit it every night, right? But your odds right now are so good.
They're insane right now because 50-50 right around the corner. Three home runs, two stolen bases, and I just can't believe it. Just can't believe it.
Yeah, you know what else I can't believe?
What's that?
Some of the size of contracts that we saw get signed in football this week.
You know, honestly, yeah, they've been insane.
I mean, Jalen Ramsey, we all know him. Amazing corner. Mm-hmm. Signs 3 years, $72 million. Highest paid corner, again, mm-hmm. for the second time in his career. And Big Dak signing the highest all-time contract at 4 years, $240 million.
So let's take these one at a time, right? So Jalen Ramsey absolutely deserves the money he gets.
I think he
is undoubtedly one of the best in the game right now. You know, he shuts down anybody he plays against, it feels like. He's always a factor in the game. Right. So getting 3 years, $72 million, bravo. Brava. Keep going. Dak Prescott, the Dallas Cowboys, 4 years, $240 million. You know, he's in the ranks of biggest active contracts in sports. Man, is that really the guy? Is he? You know, where's the production? You know, if this was Patrick Mahomes, which, you know, he's also signed some massive contracts, I would understand. He's producing Super Bowls. What is Dak Prescott producing for you other than chokes in the playoffs?
Right. So obviously Ramsey, I mean, definitely a noticeable influence when he's not on the field, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you don't notice him too much when he's there because he's just so locked in and he's making the plays that he should be, and it's just very cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
When he's not there, you're hurt. You know he's gone. Like, you can feel it. And then Dak, I know that you're not big on Dak.
I'm not.
Honestly, I think there's definitely better quarterbacks as well. I mean, we've mentioned one just here today with Mahomes.
Yep.
But Dak, what I'm going to say is going to be taken as a hot take.
Hot take of the night so far here, boys.
But it's going to be a Joe Ice Cold take for others.
Okay.
I think Dak is the quarterback that Dallas needs.
Really?
I think he performs amazingly in the regular season. I mean, the Cowboys are always a solid regular season team.
Yeah, I can
agree
with that.
When it comes to the playoffs, I don't think, the offense struggles in the playoffs. I don't think that's the actual player's fault. I think that's the coach's fault. I mean, look at their coach right now. Who is it? Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy, yeah.
Mike McCarthy coached in Green Bay and set the alcoholism aside.
Seems
coached
like
in Green Bay for how many years with Aaron Rodgers?
True.
How many Super Bowls did they win while he was there?
It's true.
With Aaron Rodgers.
That's true. In his prime.
In his prime.
In his prime, yeah.
So I think the problem is Mike McCarthy. And I know that we took this off of the list, but I'm going to bring it up just because I'm on the topic. But once Mike McCarthy is inevitably gone, probably sometime this season, it's rumored Bill Belichick.
Interesting.
And honestly, I think that's the quarter. That's going to be the coach that Dak needs to take it to the next level in the postseason.
I agree with you. I disagree with you. I think that Dak is the guy. I think in the regular season, I agree with you. Postseason, he is not the guy. I don't think that he can get out of his own way sometimes. I think that, you know, he makes a lot of errant mistakes. And I think that, you know, if Bill Belichick was there, would that make a difference? I don't really know, because there's no sample size for Bill Belichick with a guy like Dak Prescott. We've seen Bill Belichick with other quarterbacks, you know, Mac Jones. We've seen him with Jacoby Brissett. We've seen him with, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Brady. Like, you know, go down the list of quarterbacks the Patriots have had over the last 20-something years. And, you know, there's a sample size there, but there's no real comparison to a player like Dak Prescott. Maybe Jacoby Brissett, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe, you know, you can sort of make a comparison to a guy like Dak. But, man, I don't know if Bill Belichick has what it takes to sort of pull Dak aside and just make him a game manager, because I feel like Dak is a guy who very much likes to be the center of attention, and Bill Belichick thrives with game managers.
I'm not sure if it's so much that him being the center of attention is the problem, whereas I think when it comes to the postseason, there's so much pressure on him, and the regular season has been the him show with the play calling and the playmaking and all of that. When it gets to the postseason, there's so much pressure on it that he kind of breaks down, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if Bill Belichick comes in, he's going to establish, hey, this is what we are doing. You are going to be making the plays, and you're going to be calling some of the plays, but this is the flow of the game. This is my flow of the game. I mean, Belichick's very much a routine person, right?
He is.
He's got that. Him and Brady were in that same routine all the time. Every single game, every single postseason.
It's true.
In that same routine. If Dak has that routine in the regular season, I think when it comes time for playoffs, it's just going to be another game for him. It's not going to be this huge pressure anymore.
It's possible. I mean, anything's possible, right? I mean, Belichick could go down to, you know, he could go down to Dallas. He could end up in Tampa Bay, like we mentioned a few weeks ago. He could end up in Minnesota, like we were saying. Or, you know, wherever, Tennessee. You know, go down the list. But, you know, I guess, you know, we don't really know what'll happen until he gets there. Maybe, you know, all along it was Tom Brady. All along. You know what? Maybe it was Tom Brady that was the greatest, and he carried Bill Belichick. Who knows?
Well, and I think if Belichick does come back into the league as a head coach, which, by the way, that's very it's a very Jerry Jones hire.
Oh, right? Absolutely it is.
If he comes back into the league and coaches, that's going to be the telltale sign of, was it Brady or was it Belichick or was it both?
Right, exactly. Which, I mean, I'd like to think that Belichick had a massive part in it. I think that he is the greatest head coach of all time. And, you know, I would really like to believe that. And if he gets out there, he coaches for another team, I really do want to see him succeed. And I really do want to see him get that coaching win record, because I really just love to see it. I like seeing records get broken.
Right. So the only thing otherwise I have to say, just since we mentioned him, but congrats to Tom on his first week of calling.
Yep.
I know it went a little rough for him, but obviously he's brand new at it.
Week one.
It's week one. It's a It was a tough game to call, honestly.
Yeah, that was a rough game to put him in.
So I think he would have done better with just like maybe a two lesser teams, just kind of a more easygoing game, you know.
Yeah.
But he still did well, I think, and he's gonna improve. I mean, it's Tom
Yeah,
Brady.
it's
He's gonna take it and he's gonna run with it. So, or pass it,
speaking
I
of
guess, these days.
yeah, I mean, speaking of passing on things, Ja'Marr Chase, I 4 years,
He's an idiot.
$140 million offer, and he turned it down. You know what I want to see? I want to see the breakdown. I want to see the breakdown on guaranteed money. I want to see the breakdown on bonus cash. Like, what is the actual breakdown of the contract? I didn't find it
It
anywhere.
was out there. Hold on a minute. I'm pretty sure that Adam Schefter tweeted it.
Yeah,
Hold on.
I didn't actually see it,
Let
but
me find
I'm so floored that anybody would turn down 4 years, $140 million. Like, just thinking about that offer, like, sign me up. I'll go play wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, what do I got to do? Just run a route and not get past you because Joe Burrow can't throw right now? You know, like what are we doing? What are we talking about here? Why, you know, why was this turned down? What is he looking for money? You know, is he looking for more than 140 million? Is he looking for more years? You know, I guess, you know, overall, it really blows me away that he wouldn't sign this mega deal.
Yeah, it's very, it does not make any sense to me. I mean, what deal is Tyreek on right now? Do you know off the
Tyreek
top of your head?
Hill is 4 years, 120 million.
So this would put him ahead of
Tyreek.
Hill by a good chunk,
Yeah.
right? So definitely, so what are you thinking? So I'm wondering, does he not want that much money? Like, does he not want, excuse me, not want to be the highest paid?
I believe he would be the highest paid too. Or he might actually, you know, he would be tied with Justin Jefferson, right? Because Jefferson signed a 4 year 140 million, didn't he?
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, I think you're right. He would be tied with Jefferson.
So, I mean, what does he want? Like one or
90 million. Here's the breakdown.
okay, yeah.
90 million guaranteed, 30 million. All right, well, that would
That'd be 50 million.
be 50 million. So that must be a typo. But yeah, 90 million guaranteed.
Okay, so like, what are we doing here? Sign the
No, literally. I
fucking
don't. That just blows my mind. I don't
deal.
understand.
Sign
So
the contract. What are we doing?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
So I don't know. I don't know. You tell me. Like, obviously being facetious, but like, you tell me. I'd sign it in a heartbeat. I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is that he literally just does not want the pressure of being tied for the highest paid receiver.
I don't know. Why wouldn't you be? Get your money,
Why
guy.
wouldn't
Get
you? You
your
play in
bank.
the National Football League. You're a dancing clown anyways.
Exactly. Like what are we doing, you know?
I don't know. But
Whatever.
I guess we'll figure it out whenever he inevitably signs. We'll be back with that news,
It'll
but
be 4 years, 141 million, right?
you know what?
Watch.
Moving on to something else I don't understand is why this weekend during the Green Bay Philadelphia game, we saw Jordan Love go down, right, with that injury,
Right.
MCL sprain. I believe they even said heavy sprain. They have like some number ranking for him or whatever. I don't remember what it was. It was like a higher mid grade, I think. It was supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks, and he's apparently going to be in this week to throw the ball.
How's that gonna work? A mobile guy like that is not gonna stand in the pocket, let alone stand on that leg. I mean, I know he walked off the field, but like, man, I don't know if you saw that hit, but that hit was brutal on his knee.
Yeah, I don't. Is he just going to stand out there and they're just going to run the ball? He's just going to be there to just
Just hand it
organize the
off.
offense?
Right. Like, what are we doing?
I don't. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. It's very questionable. I guess we'll see what happens with that on Sunday, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't care about the Packers.
I mean, I don't mind the Packers. I'm not a huge Jordan Love guy, but we don't like to see people get injured or have to play injured. Right. But you know, if this is your long-term solution quarterback, why are you putting him out there with an MCL sprain?
Yeah, especially a very mobile quarterback like Love is.
Like, what? Why are you putting him out there with an MCL sprain?
He loves the rollouts. He loves the dropbacks. He loves to get in there and grab the 1 or 2 yards himself. Mm-hmm. For the first down or whatever. So why would you risk it? Just sit him this week. I don't even know who their freaking backup is.
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
Just let your backup come in, take the loss. Who are they even playing this week? Is it worth it?
They're playing the Colts this week. Aren't they?
Or they're gonna lose. They're probably gonna lose anyway. So just go in, just take the loss this week.
It's not even a division game. It's not
even a conference game.
No. So like
it literally does not matter other than the overall record. That's the only thing that matters about. Just sit your star quarterback for 1 week, see how he feels next week, and then go from there.
Malik Willis is their backup. Malik Willis.
I don't know anything about him.
And their practice squad quarterback is Sean Clifford.
Oh my God, no way.
Yeah.
I know that name.
Yeah,
Sean Clifford. That guy sucks.
Yeah, that's their practice squad quarterback. So
he should be a practice squad quarterback for a UFL team.
No kidding. But yeah, so like if Willis gets the start, you know, whatever. It's an out-of-conference, out-of-division game. Let your star quarterback rest his leg? I don't know. You know, maybe take a page out of the Rams book because Puka is out 4 weeks from Sunday night's injury. And they're not playing him this week. Like, you don't see them going, yeah, Puka's going to play. Puka's going to play.
Yeah, no. And I think his is an ankle, if I'm correct.
PCL, posterior cruciate ligament.
Okay, sprain. So still on the CLs here.
Yeah.
PCL, I mean, 4 weeks, I think he strained it. So that's definitely one that he's not going to, you know, a strain and a sprain are very different when it comes to ligaments like that. So
I almost wonder, you know, not to go back to Jordan Love. I almost wonder if the Packers don't want to place him on IR. I almost wonder if they don't want to do it. I wonder if there's something else going on that they're maybe seeing down the road. Ooh, theory crafting. Because Puka is on the IR. He's on the 4 week IR. So maybe something to think about.
That's going to be interesting. Yeah, definitely not. I have to keep an eye on that. I was actually going to mention, since we were talking about a couple other small... my computer was trying to restart. A couple other small injuries that came up. Just Joe Burrow denying all claims that his wrist is the problem with his performance last week.
It was so stupid. It was such a clickbait video. I don't know if you saw it, but it was literally like him like reaching down like his hand like a claw, like grabbing the bottle and then flipping it up and catching it, and people were like, oh, he grabbed his water bottle weird. Oh my God. His wrist is still injured.
sometimes your body is just awkward. Like that's
he grabbed it like this, and for all you like visual listeners, he grabbed it from the top and then he lifted it and he caught it. Like that was the whole thing.
And the other one is that T. Higgins in an interview this week said that he is in fact not faking an injury to all the people that thought he was.
That was just weird.
It is actually a real injury, and then plus the
holdout.
I think he's in a holdout, right?
T. Higgins, I don't think he's in a holdout. I think he was just injured. I mean, I don't think he's in a holdout.
There's something else with him too, not just the injury. I can't remember. Either way, it doesn't matter. He's not faking his injury. It's a real injury. I think it is his ankle. I think that's where I was thinking ankle is. It's T. Higgins' ankle.
Yeah, I think there was just talk.
It's hamstring.
Yeah, I just pulled it up, and I guess there was just chatter that he was faking an injury. to get an extension on his contract? What's
Okay,
the
so
deadline?
that's the money connection there was what I would that's where I was at with
Yeah.
that. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Hopefully he gets done with that injury soon because I have him on my fantasy team and I would like him to be playing for me.
Wouldn't we all?
So
But anyway, injuries out of the way, injuries aside, prime time preview for the week. On a heater prime time preview. I don't know what we're gonna call it yet. Maybe we
we'll come up with something
put a
catchy for
headline
it,
on this.
yeah.
The on a heater prime time something. I don't know. We'll workshop it. Get back to you guys.
Right.
Thursday night football, Bills Dolphins. Who you
So we talked
got?
about this one quite a bit before the pod today. Toss it around. Looking at the old DraftKings for some bets and stuff just to see what we wanted. I'm gonna roll with the Dolphins on this one. I do believe in the Josh Allen Superman, but against the Dolphins defense, which is not superb. I mean, it's good, but it's not superb. But the Dolphins offense, I think, just
The Dolphin,
probably takes Buffalo by that.
it's so good. And Buffalo feels so depleted right now. You know, I really would love to sit here and just to reiterate, guys, this is recorded before the Bills Dolphins games tonight on Thursday. So just so you know, we're not cheating this come Friday when this podcast comes
7:05
out.
Eastern right now. So
Yeah, so it comes out before the games. So I feel like I'm also gonna take the Dolphins. I just feel like, you know, the Bills are so depleted. I feel like the Dolphins are on such a rise. I feel like, you know, things are just trending the Dolphins way, and I think that it's just gonna be good. I think it's just gonna be good.
yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. We'll just have to see what happens with that. Sunday night, my
Sunday night.
Chicago Bears
Oof.
against the Houston Texans.
I don't mean to do it to you, but I'm going Texans.
So yeah, so that's the thing. You guys will see a little bit later in our new last segment my true thoughts about the game. I mean, I'm also with the Texans
Taking them.
just for the sole purpose of how the week one performance went with the Bears offense. That is the only reason I'm saying the Texans, because I think both defenses will be solid. I think the Texans offense will be solid. It's just the Bears offense that's a little shaky. I'd love to see us pull out another defensive win from the Titans. I'd love to see our offense actually, stabilize a little bit. But we are now down a wide receiver. Rome is out. Odunze is out for this week, I believe. We didn't mention that in the injuries.
No, I
Don't know
don't think we
why.
did.
I think he's going to be out for this week. All the receivers on the Bears got banged up this week.
They did.
Alan Moore and Odunze were all they all took a beating. So hopefully they bounce back. The other two bounce back from that. Hopefully Williams settles in a little bit. I know that the Bears are, they saw a lot of good things coming out of Williams this week. Even though he didn't perform, the best. But it's first game, he's a rookie. It was a good, tough defensive team. So, it's tough to say, but yeah, I got the Texans as well tonight. Or first Sunday, I mean.
And moving on to Monday Night Football, Falcons Eagles, who you got?
I have the Falcons.
Interesting.
I think they have the superior offense right now. I don't know if you caught any of the Eagles game from last week, but they are hurting
They're
without
hurting.
Jason Kelce.
They're hurting without Jason Kelce, but I'm still taking the Eagles. I saw what Saquon Barkley did last week. I just think that he is going to run amok against that Falcons team. And, you know, as much as I don't believe in Jalen Hurts at all, I think AJ Brown, Justin Hurts are a good combo, and I think Saquon Barkley, AJ Brown, that defense, I think it's going to be good enough to carry them right on through for that offense. And I think that it's going to be a close game. I'm not telling you it's going to be a blowout. I think if the Eagles are going to win, they're going to need to put up another 30-something points to win.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think that they can do it, too.
Yeah, and let's just hope they're not down 28-3.
But
the only thing I can say is that if it is a blowout this week and the Eagles are the winning team of that blowout, how are we feeling about Cousins?
I believe in Kirk. I think he's settling in. It's only the second game at Atlanta. You know, he's only played one so far, and this will be the second. If they lose, they lost to the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles are, you know, iffy, you know, every now and again, but they're still a good football team. And the team that they lost to last week, the Falcons lost to the Steelers. That was a competitive football game through and through. That was really, you know, they struggled on offense, but I think that that was a, you know, a product of new quarterback, new offense, new coach. You know, Kirk wasn't used to it. He's not used to it. I think this week he's going to be a little more on track. He's going to be a little more with it. And I think that he's going to perform a little better than what we saw, you know, from one touchdown performance last week.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but a little bit more spice there. We got a different pick on the Monday night game, so I guess we'll see how that comes to fruition. But
and before we jump on to the next topic, I did want to recover last week's picks just a little bit. I'm just going to go over them. So Thursday night football, we both had Baltimore. Wholly incorrect.
Yeah.
Gross, top to bottom. That ref squad, ooh, that was a hard game to watch.
Yeah, it was a little tough.
Friday night football, I had the Eagles, which I was correct, and you had the Packers. Incorrect, Mr. Pop-Tart. Sunday night football, we both had the Lions, and we were both correct in overtime. A pretty good game to watch. And then Monday night football, we both knew the Jets are just going to be the Jets, even with Aaron Rodgers, and the 49ers slapped the shit out of them.
Yeah.
The biggest one, I think, for both of us, I don't know if you consider it the biggest one, the Patriots won a game.
Right.
they beat the Bengals.
Yeah, very surprising. Yeah, definitely Joe had a rough start to the season. Mm-hmm. And it was just...
Despite us both picking the Bengals, I'm really happy that they won this week, last week, and we both picked the Bears, and their defense carried them to a victory over the Titans.
Quite literally carried the ball to the victory twice.
So we did not mention them because we were doing primetime games, but what do you think? Patriots, Seahawks?
So we mentioned this before the pod as well. We were talking about this game as well. I actually have the Pats again this week. I don't think the Seahawks are anything special. I don't think anybody expects them to be anything special.
Mm-hmm.
The same could honestly be said for the Patriots as well.
Yeah.
But I think Brissett did a good job this week. And I think the Pats got it again this week. I think they're in New England, correct?
They're at home in New England, West Coast team. Come into the East Coast at 1 p.m.
At a 1 o'clock game, yeah, 1 o'clock
West,
slot. For
West Coast teams never play well at 1 o'clock on the East Coast. So, you know, I'm also taking the Patriots on that time slot. Not just because I'm a homer, but because I really do think that they're going to just protrude the fact that the West Coast team is just going to be tired.
Yeah, no, I agree fully.
So, that out of the way, picks out of the way for now. NHL hockey news. We had two vets call it quits. They're done.
Yeah, too long time. So last week we covered, oh my God, I can't remember who it was.
I literally just had it open. I didn't even look.
I just blanked.
Last week we had...
From New York.
Mark Stahl.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry, Mr. Stahl. We had him covered after 17 seasons. We had another 17 seasons come out pretty much right after we were done recording, I think, if not the next day, the next morning.
Yeah.
But Alex Goligoski retires after another 17 seasons. Obviously, was a pivotal part of the of Pittsburgh's, Dallas, and Arizona's defense, as as the Wild for the last couple of years there. Very solid defenseman. I mean, 1,078 games played, 475 points, 388 assists, plus finished plus 55, which is great.
Respectable.
Highlight season was that first season with the Wild, 28 assists, 30 points, plus 41. So that's definitely was his best season right there in terms of plus minus. But yeah, and then our other one was Jordy Benn, another Stars player, as well as spent some time with the Canadiens, the Canucks, Jets, also on the Wild, and then finished last year with the, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago with the Leafs, did not play last year. 607 games, 111 assists, 137 points, plus finished with a plus 19. Had two really close seasons in terms of performance, that 13-14 season with the Stars, and then that 18-19 season with the Canadiens. He kind of had a resurgence there as well.
Right.
But yeah, so what do you think? And that was 12 seasons that he played.
Yeah,
so,
12 seasons.
What do you think about these retirements?
I mean, I think that they both had, you know, really good careers. I think that, you know, for D linemen, you know, they put up the points, the plus minus numbers. I mean, I think, you know, for Jordy Benn, I'm not saying Hall of Fame, but, you know, Goligoski, maybe eventually, you know, he might sneak in.
Right.
But I think that they both put up really good careers. I think that they both, you know, played their hearts out, and I'm happy for them. I think that they can, you know, go into retirement feeling like they accomplished something in the NHL for sure.
Yeah, solid career, definitely well deserved. Retirement coming their way, and wish them the best. Hopefully they land on their feet somewhere with something they enjoy for their post professional career.
Go play golf like everybody else.
Yeah, go play. I'm sure they do. I actually think that Goligoski, I think I've heard about him playing golf before.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good from what I've heard. So
no kidding. I mean, I play golf.
But, right.
So, you know, take that as you will. But we were just talking about injuries and saw a hockey injury that you had put on there for the New Jersey Devils.
Big one coming out this
week. Big D lineman Luke Hughes out 6 to 8 weeks with a shoulder injury. And I know we're not quite at the season yet, so 6 to 8 weeks, it's like, whew, glad it's happening now and not during the regular season, because that would be a massive hit. But, you know, season opening game is around October 4th, so you got, you know, 3 solid weeks without him, and then you got probably 3 to 4, maybe 5 after that to get up to 8 weeks. So you're looking at, you know, mid to late October before he even thinks about coming back. And, you know, that's a hard pill to swallow that you're going to be down Luke Hughes for that long.
Right.
But it could have definitely been worse. Could have
right, especially after he played all 82 last season. You know, definitely a pivotal part of that defense there in a year that they did not do so great. I mean, injuries left and right. I just feel bad for the Devils, which there's going to be I'm going to go more into the Devils here in a little bit later in the hockey segment here, but yeah, that's just not what you want to see is being out 6 to 8 weeks after your first full season. You know, it's going to be tough, especially since the kid's on the cover of the NHL 25 this year. You know, you wanted all the Hughes brothers to have a good season.
I think he
very well still might.
I think he will.
Hopefully he heals up from that injury and he gets right back out and he does Luke Hughes things, you know. So.
Right, yeah. Just goes and skates his brains out, goes and hits some bodies, you know, hits some pucks. Just call it a season, you know.
Right, okay. And you know how freakish all of these professional athletes are. That's 6 to 8 weeks. That's like 4 to 6.
No, yeah, no kidding.
So He'll be back. I know those Hughes brothers have crazy health and training
Yeah,
regimens, so
no kidding.
he'll be back, and he'll be back faster than that, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But someone who is coming back for the Seattle Kraken, Larson signed a new contract this past week.
Yeah, 4 years, $21 million extension, Adam Larson. I feel like we're talking about defensive linemen very a lot here
A
today.
lot of defense today.
Larson, 31. He was heading into the final years of his 4 year, $16 million deal. Pretty good signing. $21 million extension. Good for him. Contributed 18 points, four goals, 14 assists, 55 penalty minutes. Had 151 blocks, 162 hits in 81 games last year. So, for a team like the Kraken, who, meh,
Pretty
little middling in the
lackluster
pack,
last year, to be honest.
and we've been talking about over the past few weeks how they could probably use a little boost here. I think, giving this extension to Larson, who's been producing for them on the defensive side of the puck and a little bit offensively, I think that that's a pretty good get, over his time with the Kraken, posting 213 points. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so he's definitely Seattle seems to be lacking in the pieces that they know that they want for sure, right? They signed Beniers last week, and then they signed Larson this week. So they're getting those top pieces. I think Larson, does he wear an A?
I don't know if he does or not. Also, the 213 points was including his time with the Devils and Oilers. But even still, I think that, contract aside, he's still a pretty good piece to be adding to your team just because of what he brings to the table.
Right. So, I don't think, actually, yeah, I don't think he wears an A. I could foresee, I mean, he's definitely a seasoned vet in there. I could see him wearing an A for them now that they have him locked up for 4 years. And especially since he's played 3 years with them now. So definitely somebody that they obviously want to keep in that locker room, and they want to keep out on that ice for him. So we'll see what the Kraken continue to do. They've been on a little bit of a string here the
Yeah,
last couple
and
weeks.
I'm looking forward to it. And I know that we weren't going to talk about it, but I did just want to mention, a little reach out, little congratulations for the PWHL for the reveal of their names, logos for their original six entering year two.
Yeah,
I think
no,
that
it's cool.
that's really cool for them, and I really hope that that turns into something.
That's actually a really good tie-in since Seattle's making some history themselves, in the women's led side of things, with Jessica Campbell being behind the bench as well as an assistant coach. So yeah, did you see the names for the PWHL?
Boston Fleet, Minnesota Frost, Victoria de Montreal, New York Sirens, Ottawa Charge, and Toronto Scepters.
Yeah, so I think pretty cool names. Some of them are a little, maybe could tweak them a little bit. Like Scepters, I feel like Scepters don't need S, like the Montreal one, I know it's French, but it's gonna be a little
Montreal,
tough for some people.
Victoria, I think is how we would say it, but Victoria, I don't know if I'm saying
The
that right at
French
all.
say like Vissoir or something.
Victorie de Montreal or something like that,
Yeah,
I'm sure.
something like that. It's like it's yeah. I think in French it's like Vissoir or
Vissoire,
something like that.
I have no
I'm
idea.
probably grossly mispronouncing it,
Yeah,
and I'm sorry to all
somebody
you
roast this in
French
the
speakers in
comments.
Canada.
Somebody
I'm
roast this
sorry.
in the comments over this, I'm sure.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. The Minnesota Frost, I love that.
I like that
The
name.
Boston actually wasn't going to be the Fleet initially. They were going to have another name, and it was terrible. So I'm glad they decided to settle on Fleet. That's a lot better.
I like the Ottawa Charge too. Ottawa Charge is a nice little name.
Did you see the logo for that one?
I did not. Oh yeah. It looks like Calgary and Cleveland had a
It's
baby.
a little questionable,
It's
yeah.
not
So
very good.
we'll have to see. I mean, I see what they did. They made it like an O and a C, like all in one. But
Yeah,
the
I get it.
Flames kind of make it a little too close to Calgary's logo, in
Yeah.
my opinion. But
And then the C looks like the Cleveland Cavaliers.
right.
So,
So, yeah,
is what it is.
it's a little interesting, but.
But anyway, getting back to the NHL a little bit, Sidney Crosby feeling pretty optimistic he's going to get a contract extension before the start of the season. He's looking at, you know, breaking some records here, or at least, you know, getting closer to breaking some records. 8 goals from 600, 46 assists from Howe for 10th all time, 46 points from Sakic. 10th all time. Listen, I can't read sometimes. Possible 20th point per game, will be first ever. So, you know, if Sidney Crosby does get that contract, good for him.
Yeah, so obviously there's not going to be any details. It's going to be a lot of money, but nobody really knows the term, because how much longer is Sid going to be playing? I mean, he's going
37. He's 37.
Right. He's probably going to play till he's 40, but realistically, you know, and clearly, obviously, he's not slowing down that much, because he put that Pens team on his back towards the playoffs there.
Yeah, he did.
Last year, but.
But the Pens added Kevin Hayes, Anthony Bevolier, Cody Glass, and youngster Rutger McGrody. McGrody? I don't know how to say that. But McGrody. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're putting pieces around Crosby that I think that are going to be pretty good. So I guess we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. I think that maybe he plays out the next 3 years and just calls it quits.
Yeah, so I think that's a similar thing's happening in Pittsburgh that's happening in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're bringing in these pieces to put around the star player so that they can get the records that they're going for.
Yeah.
And then before they retire, right?
Because
obviously we all know that once Crosby leaves, Pittsburgh's probably going to be in a rebuild.
Big time.
Because outside of the pieces that you just listed that aren't in there for long term.
No.
It's they don't have much. So
nope.
It's yeah, I think they're doing the same thing they're doing with Ovechkin in Washington. They're just bringing in pieces to help Crosby break some records. And
I think so. It's speaking
of all of this hockey
news,
we have the preseason coming up on the 21st
next week,
just about 1 week away. Yeah,
next, not this Saturday, next Saturday.
It'll be 8 days from the time you guys are all hearing this. Mm-hmm. And then following that, 2 weeks later, we have the regular season start on the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely starting to ramp up. We're getting close to hockey time. I told everybody when I went to work the other day, I said, it's almost time for hockey, so you can quit dealing with me being bitchy. I'll be in a much better mood. And then they also, the NHL also announced the trade deadline this week, which is going to be March 7th at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Very cool. I think with that, we wanted to do another too early to tell predictions for the playoffs here for the NHL for, you know, the next few weeks while we're ramping up to the regular season. And we're going to start with the Metro Division. So, Kiwi, too early to tell playoff predictions. Give me your top three teams in the Metro Division.
Oh, the top three in the Metro. that third slot is the tricky one, to be honest with you.
It always is.
Well, let me start from the bottom up. That might make it a little bit easier. Okay. So I think finishing eighth in the Metro is obviously going to be the Blue Jackets. This is very much just a get through it season for them. We can't really, you know, if you have them anywhere less than last for the Metro this year, I think you're on a little bit of that copium.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a tough season for them, and rightfully so. And I don't think anybody's going to bat an eye if they just suck. And honestly, you guys, you know, Blue Jackets fans, my heart goes out to you guys. So putting them aside, seventh this year. This isn't any easier coming up this way. I think I have the Penguins.
Okay.
No, I'm going to put the Capos seventh. So I think the Caps are going to finish seventh. Okay. They did add a lot, once again, around Ovechkin, but that's going to be their focus this year, is just getting Ovechkin that gold record.
Mm-hmm.
I don't foresee them doing too well. I mean, they might have sneaked into the playoffs last year at minus 37. Like, come on.
Yeah, they should not have been in there.
They shouldn't have been there. But yeah, so I think not a great year for the Caps this year. Sixth is going to be the Pens right ahead of them. Same situation. We just went into it. Not going to go back into it again. Fifth, I foresee probably the Flyers sliding in at fifth. Am I on fifth? Yeah, I'm on fifth. The Flyers sliding in at fifth. I think they have a lot of growth still to do. They're still trying to find their identity a little bit. I think they'll be improved from last year. I think this division's going to be a lot closer this year than it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that they will be very much more improved from last year, but still not quite ready to jump into the playoffs. Maybe they'll sneak into a wild card spot depending on how the Atlantic shakes out. But that puts me on four.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my hot take.
Okay.
Carolina.
Ooh. The Hurricanes.
I think the Hurricanes lost a lot and added a little. I don't have faith in Sebastian Aho being the superstar that they need. I think he is a star player and he is very talented. I don't think he's the superstar they need to carry them through.
Okay.
Yeah, Freddie Anderson's going to be great in goal again this year. But realistically, you know, they just don't have as many offensive weapons as they did last year. I think they'll struggle a little bit comparatively. I foresee them getting into the playoffs still,
mm-hmm.
but not being one of the top three from the Metro. My third slot's going to be the Islanders.
Okay.
I think this is finally where they start to figure it out a little bit. It all depends on their goalie situation. If Sorokin shows up, if their backup shows up, if they're healthy, because there's rumors right now that they might be injured.
Yeah.
Both of their goalies. But I think that the Islanders will find themselves a little bit more this year and move into that third slot. I mean, they were there last year as well. So I foresee them holding on, but playing a little bit better. I mean, they had 94 points last year. I could see them being over 100 this year. My second slot is going to be, actually, I'll give my top slot, my number one division winner for the Metro this year,
mm-hmm.
the New Jersey Devils.
Really? Okay.
I think they're going to have a healthy year, and I think they're going to perform to the team that they were supposed to be last year, because they were supposed to be completely dominant. They were at the very beginning of the season, but once those injuries started to fall, it was downhill for them, and honestly it was tough to watch the Devils last season knowing what they should have been. Still finished with 81 points last year, almost a 500 record, but yeah, I think they definitely win the division this year. Their only contest being my number two pick, which is the Rangers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rangers are going to be solid again. I think they have a few things defensively that they need to figure out. They need to figure out what the heck is going on with Zibanejad. But other than that, Shesterkin's going to stand on his freaking head again all season and just be... I could see Shesterkin being the Vezina this year, the Vezina winner.
Interesting.
Which that's not going to be my official prediction right now, because we'll get onto that a little bit more into the season. Probably about the midway point of the season, we'll get into those kind of predictions. But I foresee the Rangers playing very well. It's going to be close between New Jersey and New York.
Oh, absolutely.
Both New York teams for those top three slots.
So. Taking into account your predictions, I went ahead and, you know, started typing down mine while you were sort of talking about yours. So at number eight, I have to agree with you. I think Columbus is going to have a really solemn year. I think they're going to do their best, but I just, you know, everything going on with that team, everything that they've lost is just, it's so depleting, and it's a reset year, and I think next year we're going to see something different out of them. At number seven, I think it's going to be the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think that, you know, they have added a lot of pieces, yes, but I think they're going for records, and I don't think that, you know, going for records is going to translate to wins. I think that they need a lot of help if they're going to want to get into the playoffs, if they want to even get a sniff of a wild card slot. Moving in at number six, same reason with the Capitals. I think that they're going for records with Ovechkin. I feel like it's just going to be a record-breaking year, and that's really it. And I don't think it's going to, you know, translate to wins. Sorry to my cousin, who's a massive Capitals fan, but, you know, I just don't think they have what it takes right now with Ovechkin, you know, kind of old and crusty, you know, leading the way. Moving at number five, the Philadelphia Flyers. They were sniffing a wild card spot last year, but I think with the resurgence of the topper echelon teams of the Metro Division, I think that they're just not good enough right now. I think that Danny Briere has got a lot of work to do. I think that, you know, that team, it's pretty decent, but I don't think it's good enough to slap out a wild card slot in the Metro Division. At number four, I have the New Jersey Islanders. I was about to say New York Islanders. Technically the New Jersey Islanders. But the Islanders I have at number four, which is interesting because you had them at number three. I have them at number four, and I have them at number four because I feel like my top three teams are just that damn good. I feel like they're a team that is also very, very good, but I don't know if they are better than the top three teams that I have listed in the division, because the number three, I do have the New Jersey Devils. I think that they are coming back. They are ready to go. I think that they are about to light this division up. And I think that, you know, save some of these early injuries, you know, the Luke Hughes drop off, that's a huge hit early in the season for them. They're going to have to make up some ground. I think that they're going to be able to do it. But, you know, give or take, I think that there's going to be some uneasiness enough to allow other teams to get ahead of them, which is why I have them at number three. But I think they're still going to be good enough to be number three in this division, and they're going to show us what they can do for the next however many years to come. At number two, I have the Hurricane. I think that, you know, that team is amazing. I really like top to bottom. Unlike you, I do believe in Sebastian Aho. I think he is a star player. I think he is going to show up, and I'd really love to see him just absolutely lead that team to the second place in the Metro Division. I'd love to see him continue to shine and to score an insane amount of goals. I'd love to see him go into the playoffs and just put on magic. So I have them at number two, and leading off into the number one pick that I have for the Metro Division, the New York Rangers. I am not a big Rangers guy. I'm not going to lie to you. I do not really like the Rangers. I think that the Rangers can pound sand all day long, but goddamn, do they have a team. And I, you know, I don't think that they have, you know, the best roster in the league. You know, I didn't think that about, you know, the President Trophy Bruins a few years ago. I didn't think they had the best team in the league. But I think with the team that they do have, like, they have, you know, the bread man, Artemi Panarin. They got, you know, Breadman. They got Chris Kreider, Trocheck, you know, Lafreniere, you know, Gustafsson. Go down the list, you know, and they got a really, really, you know, sturdy lineup, you know. And I think that everything that they got going for them, I think that it's going to carry over and it's going to continue into this upcoming season. And I think that for that reason, they're just going to, you know, slide back in there. I don't think they're going to be President Trophy winners. I don't think I'm ready to call who would be the President Trophy winner. But I think that
we'll make that call when we do the last division. In upcoming weeks, which will actually end up being, that pod will end up releasing on October 4th.
Yeah.
The start of the regular season.
Right.
So stay tuned for that last division as well.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. We'll give our President's Trophy.
Yes.
Pick as well.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that, and stay tuned for future guesses. But, you know, top to bottom, I think that, you know, the differentiation is a little good for us to have a competing guesses. But
yeah, we had a little bit of a shake up there. Once you I mean, honestly, Pittsburgh and Washington, we kind of just flipped, which really, realistically, either of them could flip back and forth.
I agree. I agree.
That's why I struggled so much with it at the bottom. But
Yeah.
yeah, once we got past those, there's definitely some variety. Actually, once we got past the Flyers, there's definitely a little variety in our top four, and I think that's going to be good. Like I said, I don't disagree with you that I think the Rangers are going to be an amazing team again this year. But I really just think that the Devils are going to hit their stride back off of all of those injuries last year and be the team they were supposed to be. So, yeah, I think that's pretty good for our Metro divisions. Let us know in the comments what you guys, who your top three are for the Metro.
Yeah. And if you're feeling
Would love.
spicy, hit us with your top eight. Tell us
Oh,
where we
yeah.
went wrong.
Yeah, if you want to leave the whole thing, if you want to just absolutely roast us in the comments, you go for it. We're open to any type of thing, but I think that's going to do it about for hockey for this week. So,
Yeah. Speaking of,
moving
yeah,
into a little
speaking on
basketball.
taking your strides, AJ Wilson broke the WNBA single season scoring record. 941, the previous mark, I know, set it was set last year. Jewel Loyd, 2023, with 939. So it's like she set the record. Now AJ Wilson's setting a new record. But good for them. Good for them, scoring more points this year than last year. I think the WNBA, we've been talking about it a lot these last few weeks with an absence of NBA news. But I think that AJ Wilson, great player, she's probably in line for an MVP award this year. Good for her.
Yeah, I think she's won it a couple of times actually for them. Which obviously the Aces are a fantastic team. Yeah, we actually mentioned her last week for another record that she broke. And I actually withheld this one from putting it on last week's information just until she did actually break the record, which she did this week. But yeah, so it was a record that was set last year. I first see this record getting beat next year.
I do too. I can for sure see it with some of the upcoming young talent that are shooting like crazy. Caitlin Clark, well on her way to something like this. Angel Reese, if she works on her shooting, I think she's another one that can definitely get up here and do something like this. Hell, AJ Wilson could go back to back and just beat her own record.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of, did we mention last week that Angel Reese is out for the rest of the season?
We did not. I don't believe that. I think that came out this week, that
Okay.
she was out. She's going to be out for the rest of the season,
Yeah,
which
just a
is
little side note, obviously terrible there that
absolutely
Angel Reese
unfortunate.
misses out on the rest of her rookie season. But we know that she'll be back next year and just as good, if not better. So,
I think so.
speaking of people they're hoping is just as good, if not better. The Nuggets had an extension this year or this week.
Jamal Murray, 4 years, $208 million. And this is actually a massive signing. I know that you're still new to basketball. You're still, you just picked your favorite team a few weeks ago, but this is actually a massive signing. He's developed into an absolutely lethal running mate, an absolute devastating running mate to three-time MVP Nikola Jokic. It's easy lockup, easy money. Jamal Murray absolutely earned it. The Denver Nuggets, crazy good team. This team is gonna go far for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at his stat sheet here just from his career so far. And every single year he's played, it just goes up. Just a little bit, but it goes up. You can see that incremental increase on just how much better he's getting.
Yeah, and he did tear his ACL in 2021, 2022 season. And since he's come back from that, oh wow. His stats have showed it. And like you were just saying, he's been phenomenal as, one of eight players with multiple 50-point playoff games in NBA history. That's crazy. He is the franchise's all-time leader in 3-point shots. He averaged career high of 21.2 points and 6.5 assists a season ago. So,
Yeah. And I mean, just another star that Denver gets to flaunt when they go to the playoffs year after year. So.
exactly, with, three-time MVP and now, probably eventually maybe an MVP or at least a
Yeah.
playoff MVP with Murray.
Oh, yeah, definitely,
So.
definitely. But Our last little note for basketball this weekend. It's a spicy one that we caught right after we filmed last week.
We did, yeah.
New Jersey, the state of New Jersey, has floated over a nice little $400 million to try and get the 76ers to come play in New Jersey. And
yeah.
It'd be the New Jersey 76ers and not the Philadelphia 76ers.
Honestly, I don't hate it. I think I mean, you know what I think about Philadelphia. So I think anytime you can get out of Philadelphia, you should. Going to New Jersey, a little tongue in cheek there, because you're going from one place that I dislike to another place that I dislike. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, $400 million in tax breaks to lure a team out of a maybe a city that I don't know how much Philadelphia loves the 76ers, but, you know, a sprawling mixed-use waterfront development for a basketball team like the 76ers, that could be really freaking cool.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, definitely would be cool. Would be taking away of Philadelphia's four major
yeah, it would.
City.
Yeah, know? It would.
And that's a big thing.
That would be massive for them to lose.
It loses a lot of revenue for the city. So say what you want about Philly, but obviously they would be hurting. So they better come back with a better counter offer.
Yeah, they can't really afford to lose the 76ers because, I mean, like you said, that's one of their four major teams. You know, they got the Phillies, they got, you know, the Eagles, they have the Sixers, and they got the Flyers. So, I mean, you know, they have a lot of major teams there, and I don't think that they can really afford to lose any of them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I foresee, I'll give you my prediction.
Okay.
I don't think they leave Philly.
I'm going to counter that. I think that they leave.
All right.
I think they leave.
There you go. We'll write that one down in the notes to keep up on later.
Yeah. We'll follow. I'm sure we'll follow it up as soon as that news hits, because that's going to, ooh, that's going to hit like crack if they decide to leave.
Yeah.
For legal reasons, that's a joke. Anyway.
Right. For other legal reasons, we're moving into our last and new segment here where we go over our sports picks.
Mm-hmm.
Sports bets picks for the week.
For the week.
We're gonna try and give probably about one each for each major sport that's, you know, active. Really having something happening at the time. Yeah, active. Obviously, disclaimer, we are not financial or betting advisors by any means.
No.
Please take these ideas with a grain of salt.
Absolutely.
We definitely don't try and, you know, fleece you guys or anything. We're trying to give you solid bet options here.
Spend your money wisely and bet
right
with your own knowledge and, you know, your own research. Absolutely.
Right. And these are all going to come from DraftKings, by the way, in case you guys want to see exactly which ones we're talking about. We'd like to do the parlays, so you're going to have to go to DraftKings if you want to see these specific parlays. Mm-hmm. I don't know how other betting sites work. Maybe you could make this into your own parlay on those or whatnot.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, you want to start us off, Zach?
Yeah. So coming into week two of the NFL, you know, I'm going a little home cooking. Little six-leg parlay plus 1746. I got Houston to win, Philly to win, Dallas to win, Washington to win, Jacksonville to win, and New England to win. And if all of those hit, ooh, that's going to feel so good.
That's going to feel good. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I looked at that one as well, and I was like, do I want to take this one? Do I want to not? Do I want to edit a little bit?
Yeah, I put down, you know, we have a $25 spending limit on these bets. You know, we're not going crazy with these picks, but I put down a nice spicy little $10 bet on this. You know, I put up a little money on this. So, you know, my return on a plus 1746, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. I mean,
what about you?
Well, I guess I'll give my NFL one for this week as well. I got the streaking six-leg parlay this week, plus 1143, which is Baltimore to win, Dallas to win, Kansas City to win, New England to win, Pittsburgh to win, and Houston to win.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of overlap there, honestly.
Yeah, Houston, Dallas, and New England, I think, are all three of those are on there. You have obviously the home teams trying to get some wins. I have the teams that, which is weird that they said that this was the teams that won last week, but Baltimore definitely didn't
Baltimore
win.
Did not win last week, no.
So a little bit of a discrepancy there, but
that's fine, honestly.
I think they just tossed them on there because they kind of knew they had to give something juicy on there. They had to lower the odds a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
probably a minus one that they threw on there to even it out. But,
probably.
And then for my NFL one, I have the Twins with the under 8 runs for Friday's game, which is when you guys will be hearing this, against the Reds, which is plus 100.
That's honestly pretty interesting.
Yeah, and under 8 for a plus is kind of...
I think that they're going to do it, though. I don't think it's going to be a very high-run game, you know, between those two teams. I think that we're going to see a low-score game, probably like a six or 7 count, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds aren't a great team this year, obviously, but I still don't think... I mean, 8's a lot, so...
On my side, you know, I just couldn't go a week without talking about the Chicago White Sox. I took the money line against the Athletics, plus 110 tomorrow. I think that the White Sox are going to sneak out a win. The Athletics aren't very good, and I think that the White Sox are going to somehow come together, get their heads out of their asses, little $5 bet, get a win.
Right. Nothing too spicy, so.
Yeah,
that's our picks for the week. Hope you guys enjoyed everything that we had for you today, and I think that's going to be about it for us.
Yeah, so be sure to check us out. You know, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Prime Podcasts, whatever, wherever you might watch or listen to our podcast. For more, be sure to like, comment, subscribe where applicable. Getting work on a small little trailer over on the YouTube side, so people can see, you know, kind of what we're all about.
Make sure you guys check that out and enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, so we're done rambling. Be free.